Dan Riccio and Randeep Janda. Happy to welcome into the show Dan Murphy, our Sportsnet Canucks reporter. How's it going, Dan?
I'm doing good, fellas. How are you guys?
Oh, we're pretty good. Canucks gave us a lot of news to talk about here in the slowest sports week of the calendar, so we're pretty happy about that. Let's get your quick takeaway on the Michael Ferland deal.
You know, I like it. I think especially considering what most people felt he was going to demand or get back in, what, December and January.
The Tom Wilson contract, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And so I think that's good value. I know that he had a good run through with the team doctors, but anytime you're dealing with someone who's had a history of concussions, there's obviously going to be a worry. And also with the way he plays, a four-year contract, maybe that's the price of doing business, but you hope he doesn't wear down a little bit. And I think it's been well documented that season to season, he's got off to a lot of great starts and kind of finished not so strong. So, but, you know, $3.5 million for a guy who can score up to 20 goals and, you know, provide some space, skate and hit and be a physical presence. I think that's pretty good value, especially considering most people thought he was going to get on the open market.
Yeah, most Canucks fans remember Michael Ferland from 2014-2015 when he was a wrecking ball in the playoffs, 26 games during the regular season, but he really showed up in that series. How much of that size and intimidation factor, the physicality, do you think this team needs right now? I know he's a better player than he was back in 2014-2015 as well, but how is it still needed on this roster? Is it?
Well, I think it is needed. I'm in the camp, though, you don't overpay for grit or leadership if grit or leadership can't play. It's kind of the same kind of camp I'm in. So as long as he can play, I mean, that grit, that physicality is a huge bonus. You know, those people are types of players are very valuable. I don't know about intimidation, but certainly it's not fun for defensemen when you have forwards that are heavy that like to forecheck and hit and retrieve pucks. And he's very good in front of the net. He's got a very good shot. So he's not going to make life easy on opposing defenders. And, you know, we always hear the tired cliche of Travis Green wants to be a team that's tough to play against. Well, I think, you know, obviously the toughest teams to play against are the teams that are very good. But also you can have pain-in-the-ass players that make it difficult, and I think Ferland is one of those guys.
Yeah, Ferland and Roussel also being on this roster. JT Miller's going to add a little bit of that physicality as well. And, of course, Tyler Myers brings that size and maybe not as much physicality as I think some people have made it out to be, but, you know, he does have that element in his game. In the overall, that is clearly one of the things that Jim Benning wanted to add, and he made it a priority this season. I guess because Jim feels and the Canucks feel that we just needed this around our skill guys, especially Elias Besser and Quinn Hughes. Do you agree with that assessment?
I do agree with it. I mean, I think it's a little overstated how having people that are tough guys can perhaps help protect the young guys. I don't think that it's not as much a factor in today's game as it was even 10 years ago. But I think that obviously if you do have guys that can take care of themselves, then it might, you know, give those skill players, might make them a little more comfortable on the ice. You know, and clearly Jim Benning is a guy that, you know, puts great value into size and some toughness. And I think, you know, you've heard a lot of different GMs state now, too, that you look at the St. Louis Blues in the Stanley Cup playoffs, and they were a team with tremendous size. But, you know, if those big players and tough players can't play, it's not worth a damn. So you hope that the guys that the Canucks have, you know, have picked up here and signed here can do that. And I think you're totally right. I don't think Myers is a physical guy at all. He does have some size, obviously. But I think he's just more a guy that they're going to plug into the top four and improve the defense. And hopefully, you know, he improves it more than what a lot of the naysayers think he's going to bring.
Murph, I mentioned a little bit earlier, but that 2015 playoffs years is where most Canucks fans remember Michael Ferland from. You keep in touch with Kevin Bieksa. Any reactions from Kevin on the signing from the Canucks?
I did text him yesterday, and all I just texted was Ferkland in capital letters with an exclamation point, and he just sent back an LOL and dum-dum, because I think that was his quote, right? You know, we've played
right.
against Ben Eager and some other dum-dums in the past. So, you know, I was always appreciated. Kevin was never one to be shy to give a quote, even if he didn't believe it. And, you know, the next one we heard was the one before that, remember, in the San Jose playoff series, where he accused the so-called Canadians of diving. So I always appreciated him for giving quotes, and not necessarily even if they were true, but just for a bit of a distraction.
Dan Murphy, our guest. The question now is what the Canucks have to move away from and move off of this roster and try to at least alleviate some of their cap crunch with all these signings coming in. And Louis Erickson keeps coming up. Now, is this situation as bad as we all think, Murph? And, you know, we even heard Elliot Friedman today say on 31 Thoughts that, you know, Travis Green isn't happy with the comments that Louis made, and they're going to maybe force his hand and try to play ball here in terms of a trade if they can find one. It's either that or Utica. Is that the road we're going down here?
You know, I guess they have to look first off if they, you know, do you believe that? Well, first off, they're going to have to bury someone in the minors, but you only get so much relief. So you get the same amount, whether it's Schaller or Erickson.
Yeah.
So I guess they have to determine, do you think that Erickson is one of your 12 or 13 best forwards? This is if you can't trade him. Now, if you think sending him to the minors is going to make him accept a trade to a different team because he's got the no trade clause, then maybe that's the route you go. I just don't know. You're not trading him for another bad contract at this point because that doesn't help you out anymore. You don't have that cap space. So, you know, I believe that they probably had something close to being done at the deadline last year for Lucic and never went through because I've heard that Erickson would not waive to go to Edmonton. Now, that's not possible now because the Canucks need the cap space more than just getting rid of one bad contract for another. So I think they could play some hardball. I'm sure that Travis was, you know, he probably thought, you know, Louis's been in this league a long time. Why, even if perhaps the comments were overblown a bit after being Google translated, he should know better than stirring up a hornet's nest that way. But if it comes to the time on opening night, they feel that he's still one of their 12 best forwards, even a fourth line role in penalty killing, he could still be on the team. If they don't think he is, then send him to UConn and see if he can force his hand.
Yeah, it's quite a conundrum for the Canucks because, you know, if you look at the way that Travis Green wants to play, guys that play, you know, are tough to get off the puck and work battle in the corners. Louis Erickson hasn't played that style, you could argue, ever in a lot of ways. So it doesn't really profile to be that sort of player. Looking ahead, you mentioned cap space, though, and why the Canucks need cap space. Well, Brock Besser, they got to make that deal, and they got to make sure that they have enough room to maneuver if they want to make some in-season pickups as well. We've heard potentially maybe, you know, there could be a bridge deal type if the Canucks want to go shorter term, or, you know, it seems like there may be interest on the long term as well. Where do you think this ends up, and what would be the ideal contract length for a Brock Besser?
Well, I mean, if it's a shorter term, then perhaps you don't have to give him quite as much money because he knows he's going to cash in, so it's a four-year deal. I think that probably a 6x6 was discussed early last season, but the Besser camp turned it down. That's what I believe. So probably if you're looking at a six-year contract, it's going to be in $7 million range or maybe just a bit north of that. So, but, you know, I hear people saying that Besser has all the leverage. You know, I'm not sure about that. Of course, you know, this is a big pressure year for the Canucks and Jim Benning to try and make the playoffs, and not having Besser in the lineup would be a big hindrance for that. But it's a guy who, you know, he doesn't have arb rights. He's not available for an offer sheet. So this is kind of one of the times where the team does hold a little bit over the player. I just hope it doesn't drag on and go into some sort of a holdout. But, you know, I think probably a 4 or 6 years is likely what's going to happen in my mind.
So before we let you go, do you think the Canucks, do you see them as a playoff team now with all these additions?
Oh, man, I don't know. I mean, here's the danger. They're a cap team now.
Yeah.
They're a cap team now, and they're not a guaranteed playoff team. That's a bit of a scary position to be in. I think they are improved. I think they could be much better. I think the division that they're in helps them in that way because you still really don't know about Edmonton or the Kings. I'm not sure about the Ducks. I'm not sure about the Coyotes. They should be better. But, you know, by default, they might have an easy division to get some more points. But they're still kind of like an if, you know, like what if Markstrom is more Markstrom from 2017 than 2018?
Yeah.
You know, what if they do suffer some more injuries? You know, I think they have greatly improved, but I don't know if they've improved by 15 points, and that's, you know, that's what they'll need to get into the playoffs.
It's Dan Murphy. Follow him on Twitter, @SportsMurph. Is the golf game looking good, rounded into form?
Well, I played my first time yesterday in a couple weeks, and it wasn't too bad. But, yeah, I'm hoping to get a little bit more. We did a family RV trip, you know, last week.
Yeah.
So we tried that out. It was a success until we ripped the awning off the side of the RV, which was not great. But, yeah, okay. Hopefully get a little bit more. Hopefully get a little more golfing. Yeah, the retractable awning had to be retracted permanently, like right off the vehicle.
It's like a National Lampoon's vacation type of thing you're going.
Yeah, is this a Griswold
Cousin
family
Eddie.
Vacation or what's going
yeah.
on?
Cousin Eddie was rolling in.
I appreciate the time, Murph.
All right, boys. Have a good one.
There is Dan Murphy, Sportsnet's Canucks reporter.